A very good morning to you, and happy Workers' Day to you, you're fortunate enough, who you are fortunate enough to have something that you call work. So happy Workers' Day to you, and those, and the hustlers as well. So those are out there hustling. So you are also a workers, on your own right. So happy Workers' Day, to everybody. So thanks for joining us this morning on this day, on this very, very, very important day, Workers' Day. And, I wish you, if you're at home, not like some of us now here at work. So, so have a good rest. It's your day. Have a good rest. Tomorrow is work again. So yeah, enjoy your day. It's your workers. It's a workers day. It's your day. So enjoy it, wherever you are. Don't do it. Don't enjoy it by, indulging. I know it's the end of the month. Don't enjoy it by indulging yourself in intoxicating yourself. But just relax. And enjoy your Workers' Day if you are a worker. All right. Our time, it's about 34 minutes past the hour of 7. And if you're tuning in, you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. So the show, where we dive deep into the stories, event, and issues that shape our world. So this is a show. This show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we are here to make sense of it together. So, but it's not just about us talking. It is about you. Share your thoughts, opinion, and perspective on the topics that matter most to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So it is the first day of the month, and we're almost getting at the middle of the year. You know, there's just about 30 days more, and then we are right in the middle of year. Today is the first of the month, is the first day of May, is the first day of May. So what has happened? What, let's look on this day in Africa. What happened? Anything that happened on the 1st of May in Africa? On this day in Africa, Labor Day celebration across Africa, May the 1st is celebrated as an International Workers' Day or Labor Day. In many African countries, including South Africa, Nigeria, Kenya, Ghana, some of the biggest country, you know, in Africa. So this day recognizes the contribution of workers and often involves matches, rallies and public event advocating for workers' rights and better labor conditions. So, and on May the 1st in 1960, Cameroon, the difference is just in the way how you write that. So formally became a republic, after gaining independence from France earlier the same year, that year on January the 1st. So the event, really marked, the beginning of Cameroon's journey as an independent, nation. So now, the African Union and Pan-African Workers' Celebration on this day throughout the 20th century. So May the 1st became a significant date for Pan-African labor movement. So trade union and worker organizations across Africa used the day to unite workers against colonial exploitation and advocate for fair labor practices. So, and if you're just joining us, happy Workers' Day if you're a worker, and you are tuning to Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. So, and what is our thought for the day on Unpacking the Day? Dig the well before you are thirsty. Dig the well before you are thirsty. So the proverb emphasizes the importance of preparation and foresight. So it suggests that you should plan ahead and take proactive steps to meet your future needs, rather than waiting until a crisis or a necessity arises. So anticipate challenges or needs and take action earlier so you are ready when the time comes. So in essence, the proverb is a call to be proactive, wise, and forward-thinking in life. So dig the well before you are thirsty. So very good morning. So, and as I said, for those are fortunate enough to have something they call work or a job, happy Workers' Day to you. So when we come back, we get into our first item on the show. Stay tuned. We will be back.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudia would take it off a guna, imatina, omjo. She goes a fast and anana, longishi fa, ya, she became what she wanna. E moyao, or tango got his amwene. Anagashifa, yanamibia, ombitom banawa, orangeka. The Ethanina, Omaguro, Nidanitoma, yue, youngishifa, yokupitramo, Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende pime meha uka kombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. Uh-huh. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Get social with us on...
Yeah, very good morning. And very good morning to you. And thanks for joining us. If you're just joining us, welcome to Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshoveli. And I was trying to get one of my guests. This was Mr. Peterson Kambinda from Naretu, from the union, from the Namibia Revolutionary Transport Union, Naretu. I think his number is just, he's just ringing and he's not picking up. All right. So yeah, it's the day we remember, we commemorate the Workers' Day. We were hoping to speak to him on the condition of, on the human, on the rights of the workers and also the significance of the day. And also as from a unionist, point of view. So yeah, we will try him again, later on, to see if we can, get him. So yeah, so stay tuned. Let me just, see if I can get him again. If I don't, then we move on. So stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikawa shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Zeitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma onarahe tatu imu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are The Elsie Nehangano, Rio Sherero o Maimburiro, The Catholic Simane Kakarunga, The Africans Sing for Tierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-235-8063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
All right, good. Good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. Today, as we commemorate Workers' Day, a day dedicated to honoring the contribution and sacrifice of workers across the globe, we pause to reflect on the current state of Namibia's labor market. So this year's Workers' Day comes at a critical juncture as our nation grapples with profound challenges in employment, workers' protections, and economic inequality. Yeah, now, with unemployment at 36.9% and youth unemployment at 41.9%, many workers are trapped in precarious job, often without basic benefit or social protections. So rising living costs and stagnant wages further compound this struggle. Today we are joined by Mr. John Saunderson, a labor consultant who will help us unpack the state of the labor market in 2025. So good morning, Mr. John, are you there?
Yes, good morning, I'm here, man. How are you doing?
I'm fine. It's good to have you on Unpacking the Day. So so today is Workers' Day, and happy Workers' Day to you.
Same for you, same for you.
Oh, yeah, no, thank you. So how would you describe the current state of workers' rights in Namibia?
Well, that is a very interesting question, and the one that is rarely asked.
Mm.
So I'm glad that you actually posing that question right up.
Yeah.
To be very frank with you and to be very honest, we think that we, when I speak about we, and I talk about me, myself, other labor consultants, especially the ones representing workers, including trade unions,
yeah,
and the workers themselves. Now, we believe that workers' rights are very frequently undermined,
yeah,
through numerous types of violations in the workplace, ranging from sexual harassment to, you know, to constructive dismissal issues such as making the work environment very difficult for somebody,
yeah,
for a worker, and forcing that person ultimately to resign from his position. To top it all off, it has been our experience that and this is not to downplay,
yeah,
the role of the labor ministry or the labor ministry employees.
Yeah.
But the reality is that, and this is something that we frequently talk about and highlight, is that workers' rights are being violated through, you know, a combination of powers that are being colluded.
Mm.
And when thinking about powers, and we talk about and the employers and labor officials frequently colluding, and really making a very good job at hiding,
yeah,
the actual
violation,
the actual things or way that things are being done, a very very underhanded way of doing things, but disguising it with beautiful words as if the labor industry is playing a fair game.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
maybe on that one as well. Is when these violations are actually made, is it also that maybe workers themselves don't know what are their rights are and to be able to demand that, and also that the union maybe I don't want to say it have failed, just to say have they have done enough to educate their members and workers in general about their rights as workers?
Well, to be honest with you, I believe that they're doing a good job in terms of informing and educating, their members as far as possible, about and on their rights. But as I said earlier, the greatest setback that we have in Namibia is the lack of willingness, political willingness, to correct certain issues. Can I use an example of what I have in the last 6 months I've tried to accomplish? In the last 6 months or so, I reached out to the labor ministry requesting them to for example come to Ochewarongo host like a public education day or public hearing where the public can highlight their struggles they're having with the local labor ministry officers in the Ojibwa region, for example. The labor ministry, to call out a few names, Mr. Poldovich and them, they after a second time of engaging with them and trying reaching out to them, saying, "Listen, I've sent you this on that date. Do you have any response on our suggestion that we are having?"
Yeah.
And they in their letter they state that they are doing enough in terms of reaching out and having public sessions with the public. But in my view, in my opinion, it is an outright lie, because how can you have a once-off session in a vast region like Orchard and Jupa in Okakarara for one day in the year where people can raise their voice and their concerns? But in the meantime, it is also very difficult to have your complaints listened to by the Ministry of Labor. If somebody like myself as a consultant is struggling to get them to react, and I have numerous examples and evidence of emails in which I've raised issues, posted questions, requested things to be corrected, it has been done incorrectly. But there's no answer from Mr. Skiliki, who's the Labor Commissioner. It's a very sad situation that we have in Namibia. And I believe this is all related to the new colonialism mindset that is existing and that is still present in Namibia today. And it is further, I believe that in Namibia, modern day slavery is widespread.
It's very
much widespread. Especially when we look at farm workers and the way that they are being treated and handled.
So now, when you look at the what workers are facing today, what are the most pressing challenges faced by the Namibian workers today? So what are the most pressing challenges do you think Namibian workers are facing?
Okay, number one, the one thing that I think that we are facing is, as I said, that collusion between the labor officials, between the labor ministry head office and employers. Secondly, salaries, wages. I think salaries and wages do not grow in line with our inflation that we face every year. And on top of that, I think the current level of the minimum wage in Namibia in the private sector which is something like $18 per hour now. That is not being strictly adhered to by employers. And even the $18 per hour, I think it is very low for a country like Namibia. With widespread unemployment, so that person working for that $10 an hour at Spar or Chivarongo, for example, has to feed or support maybe four or five more people at home, or whom, say two or three at least, are adults who are unemployed and cannot find employment. And which frequently also includes youth, like you have mentioned earlier, the youth unemployment, which is standing at 41%. I believe the reality is that it's more like 50%. Youth unemployment is more, more along the lines of 50% in Namibia, and it has been discussed recently as well in the recent months in the last year in Namibia. So those are the pressing issues that we are facing in Namibia, and it's not only youth as well. You also have university graduates sitting at home without jobs because our industries are not being developed and invested in. For example, we don't even have a proper manufacturing sector. If we open up at least 5 to 10 factories in Namibia, like Mr. Jopo Mpanda has proposed recently to our new honorable president. A shoe factory, it's so very simple and straightforward type of undertaking it can be invested in. You know, all of us, we love our flip-flops here in Namibia, isn't it? You can take old tires, grind them up, recycle the rubber, and manufacture flip-flops, for example. We sell it in Namibia and in our neighboring countries as well, like Zambia, Angola, etc., etc. We have so much pollution that we also going to be taking care of when we use manufactured tires in this type of a production. Just to mention an example of what we can do to improve our situation in terms of unemployment in Namibia.
So,
the challenges that we are generally facing as workers.
So you mentioned the minimum wage that has been introduced. So, and the 18 per hour. So now, for the company that have actually maybe doing that, in your assessment, maybe is something that you haven't paid attention to, but how effective has it been in addressing the wage gap and improving living condition? Has it addressed that wage gap and also improving the living condition?
As I mentioned earlier, not all employers are following that guideline. That is a guideline. It's a regulation because it's part of our legislation now, because you have to pay the minimum wage. A minimum wage of $18 per hour, and if you work eight hours a day, it's something like, is it like $140 a day, right? No, $140. I mean, what can you do with a salary of $2,000? 300, 400, 500 a month. What can you really do? And as I mentioned, you are feeding four, five, six mouths in your house. So really, it is improving the situation. It is really helping. But it didn't manifest itself as yet, because many employers do not really pay that minimum wage as we are speaking right now. But those who really do pay the minimum wage, it improves, it can help somebody to afford another 10 kg of maize meal at least, maybe for a month. But I mean, does a 10 kg maize meal, does it really improve the situation? That is the questions that we need to ask. So in my view, no, it isn't really helpful. That is my personal opinion. I think if I'm not mistaken, in South Africa, the minimum wage is something like 35 rands per hour. Then you speak about 4,500 per month. That sounds much better.
Yeah.
So we were more looking at the minimum wage of around $30 to $35 per hour, because that would improve the situation. Because now you do not only need to or can afford an additional 10 kg maize meal, but now you can afford chicken legs and these combo packs.
So that
sounds better.
How can then Namibia really close the wage gap between various sectors and improve income equality?
Okay. We just mentioned a higher minimum wage, right?
Mm.
So of course that should be the way to go. The minimum wage, it should really be up there, $18 per hour. And mind you, some of these $18 per hours, it will also implemented in phases by some employers. Secondly, improve our own manufacturing sector in Namibia, there's a lot of potential in that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ideas that are floating around, that can be implemented, by creating more businesses, and it will be feasible. It will definitely be feasible. And thereby you can increase employment, reduce unemployment, and you can also improve the type of wages that are being paid. Because now, remember, during times of high unemployment, labor is not really needed.
Yeah.
So employers are in a better position to negotiate for lower wages.
Yeah.
But when demand increases, prices also increase. So that's what we need to do. We need to develop our local economy, especially our manufacturing sector, and thereby we can create demand for labor services. And when you create demand or demand increases, then price, of course, also increase, which might lead to higher wages.
Yeah, so I'm just getting you back to the minimum wages, because it sparked some debate with some employers really warning of job losses. So what is the union's response to these concerns, and how can fair wages be balanced with economic stability that, you know, the workers, the employers, doesn't lose money, not losing money, but may not have money to be able to pay, the employees. And also it doesn't, the workers don't lose job. So what is the union response to this concern, and how can fair wages be balanced?
Okay. On that point, besides being a labor consultant, I'm a trained economist.
Yeah.
So, from that point of view, looking at your question, my view is that, all of these years, companies, have never complained about, the number of people that they employ.
Yeah.
But ever since the minimum wages was instituted, they suddenly have this issue of, we cannot afford it, we cannot pay it. If we need to pay it, then we need to reduce the workforce.
Mm.
I mean, look at the situation. How is it possible that you as a business expect to serve and maintain the same level of income with fewer staff at a higher cost. Because one person can only serve so many customers, you know, during a day or a month or during a year. So my personal opinion and my professional opinion is that businesses, it's not that they cannot afford it. It is, they're making a lot of money and they're generating a lot of profits. So to me, in my view, it is more an issue or question of greed than anything else. Pertaining to what the trade unions are doing, the trade unions basically they are submitting to that that statement, you know, in the country. And this, you know, trade unions want to protect the job losses. They don't want to exacerbate it or contribute towards it. So for them, they have to try and balance, and they have to try and understand that minimum wages complaints are made. They approach it with a lot of caution, a lot of with a submissive attitude towards businesses. And very rarely. Do they, you never hear about cases like, the minimum wage, issue, that has been tabled at the Ministry of Labor's office in the arbitration or the labor, inspectorate. So, I think it's not something that is really implemented in Namibia and taken seriously. As I've stated earlier, very few employers actually pay the $18 per hour. And whenever the situation arises, and some case appears in front of the Labor Commissioner's office, they blatantly just say, no, we cannot afford, to pay everybody or to pay $18 per hour. And that is why we've been paying, the type of salary. But before you even get to the Labor Commissioner's office, once employees start to complain about them not being paid at the correct minimum wage, the employer already orchestrate a situation to get rid of this person. And they knowingly, and they know that they more often than not, frequently they survive at the Labor Commissioner's office or the inspectorate with what they've been doing, through collusion and corruption. Employers really have it easy in Namibia, to be honest with you.
So the other thing, John, it's especially those now who work in the sectors with higher level of foreign ownership, such as some sectors such as retail and maybe construction as well. So what challenges do Namibian workers really face, and how are union addressing possible discrimination or exploitation, especially in sectors where with higher level of foreign ownership?
The trade unions, again, as I say, they're not really showing a lot of bite in Namibia, like, for example, as compared to South Africa. They're more along the lines of, you know, going with the flow, going with the employers downstream, not fighting to swim upstream. But myself, a very interesting case which I handled last year was a lady working at a clothing retailer. The company is South African. She's been discriminated against and victimized at work. The regional managers, the country manager, they really do not pay attention to complaints of workers, the way they've been treated. you know, it is, I had to go up to that store, ask for the store manager.
Yeah.
And went inside, and I had a sit down with the store manager, and I explained to her that what she was even doing is even criminal. You understand? Criminal charges can be filed against them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that specific worker is still working there. She's informed me that things have improved tremendously. And I mean, that is the type of thing that we need to do and need to be willing to engage in. Going to these managers of these foreign companies, reaching out to the head offices in South Africa. I know it's very difficult because information of the head offices and who to contact is not freely available in Namibia.
Yeah.
Bring me to the point just between brackets that Namibia generally is a country where information is not really readily available in the public. It's not really made publicly available. More often than not, you know, things are being done, undercover.
Mm.
So it really, in a very secretive way. So it is very difficult. And trade unions, there are some trade unions and individuals within trade unions who are trying their very best. But, the owners of the money, foreign businesses, white businesses, to put it that way, and then businesses itself in terms of businesses. So it is always a very
tempting thing. Mr. John, we have a commercial quickly, and we will come back. Eh? Just hold on here.
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
All right, we're back. So, how does the union really monitor and kind of like ensure compliance with the Labor Employment Act of 2007, especially the foreign owned businesses? How do they do that, or they only intervene when there's a problem?
Well, you know, generally the approach is that it is not proactive.
Yeah.
It is more as you mentioned, intervention on a case-by-case basis that is taking place.
Mm.
Yes. But as I pointed out earlier, we try to have a public hearing, and that is being proactive, you understand, to try and tackle issues that is really serving as challenges for workers and the public in general.
Mm.
And but the Labor Ministry, we thought that they would take it up, open-heartedly, but no, that's not the case in Namibia. As I pointed out earlier, there's a lot of reluctance and resistance from the Labor Ministry to actually lead this openness and this proactiveness that we are seeking.
Mm. And the other thing is that many workers still remain outside of the Social Security Commission safety net. So what steps are being taken to expand coverage and enforce employers' contribution for all workers?
Reaching out to the Social Security has proven to be challenging as well.
Mm.
What has come to the fore is that the Social Security is also not, really proactive in ensuring that all workers are being registered and enjoy these protections from the Social Security. And that is really heartbreaking. To be honest with you, in general, the care, the level of care given to our employees in Namibia, our workers, it is being neglected.
So
the reasons are, as I stated earlier, and the main reason is that, for example, again, where you will find that a worker or workers has not been registered on the Social Security. Very rarely do employers pay that fine that is prescribed, you know, in the regulations.
Mm.
I believe that the fine is up to $10,000 if you found that you haven't registered your workers.
Yeah.
But very, very rarely that happens. The compliance officers, especially, I can point it out and I can state it, Nacho Warongo, for example, they show so much resistance, and when you bring, issues like that to them, and you do not even get feedback. Once you labor complaint or you make them aware, the Social Security will tell you, no, but a person who's not registered must later complain. But mind you, it is the responsibility and duty of all of us in Namibia and every citizen to stand up for the rights of anybody, everyone else. Isn't it? Our constitution makes provision that, therefore. So these are the type of things that is being taking place in Namibia. And then you will even find when the workers have not been registered at the Social Security and complaints are being made to the Office of the Labor Commissioner and cases are appearing.
Yeah.
The Labor Commissioner's office say they can do nothing with regards to Social Security, for example, and our people do not have money to afford lawyers to file civil lawsuits against companies or Social Security or Ministry of Labor. So, really, the system is designed to go against correcting violations of workers' rights.
Yeah. The other method that the workers use, maybe seeking justice and all that, is strike and protest. So how effective are strikes, in your opinion, how effective are strikes and protest in bringing about meaningful change for workers in Namibia?
Our history shows us that strikes are not that very common in Namibia.
Yeah.
Very often, you will find that when strikes are taking place, it is found to be an illegal strike by the Ministry of Labor when complaints are made to the Ministry of Labor's office. Then rather, these poor workers, they face disciplinary action and illegal, participating in illegal strikes is a fireable offense in Namibia, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So strikes and lockouts, not very effective, not very common. There's a lot of fear surrounding that, fear on the part of the employees. And I think our people has become a people that is being that has accepted the situation. But that is not what we should do as a people.
Mm.
And I hope that our brother is dealing in Burkina Faso, Ibrahim Traore, standing up for our rights, for our resources, standing up against neocolonialism. That is what we need to do, and we need to fight for it.
Yeah.
I applaud Michael Amishulelo, Joko Mupanda for that.
Yeah.
We would like to work a lot more with them because there's some of us who have a passion for change. And to move away from this system where our generations at the time of independence were sold out by our leaders.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. There's another concern, mental health of workers. I think it's a growing concern. Yeah. What programs, maybe you are in the know, what programs or initiatives can be introduced to support workers facing depression or stress?
Okay, number one, and I've mentioned it quite a few times during our conversation now.
Yeah.
We need the Labor Ministry to be on board.
Yeah.
We need the Labor Ministry to be unbiased, number one. We're not asking them to only represent the rights and interests of workers.
Mm.
Because the labor market, entire labor market includes the employers, for whom the Labor Ministry should also be looking out. So the Labor Ministry should be this mediator, this facilitator.
Yeah.
Between the parties to ensure that everybody's rights are not violated. But we need the Labor Ministry, including Social Security Commission, to come to the table and to throw in their weight and throw around their weight.
Yeah.
That will change the mental wellness of workers in general. Many times, the depression, the work stress, the treatment that people are getting at a place of work, it leads our society to a place where they use alcohol and drugs.
Yeah.
Which again, if they appear at work under the influence, they will be, immediately summarily fired. So it's a vicious situation that we find our workers in Namibia, especially in light of the high unemployment and the scarcity of job opportunities in Namibia.
Yeah.
It, all of that contributes to workers' mental health. But our people are doing great.
Yeah.
I think we are mentally very strong. Because you've been coming through this for a very long time, and you're holding on, and you're not giving up.
Yeah.
But really the situation could be improved, given that the government authorities responsible for labor market management, do more.
Yeah. So now, a day like this, what does workers' day mean to Namibian workers in today's economic climate?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, workers' day to us Namibians, well, as I explained to you, our workers and our unemployment in Namibia is, our workers, number one, they're not very happy.
Mm.
They're mentally in a very good space, but they are mentally strong, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Very high unemployment. Workers' Day, to be honest with you, to our people working under these conditions, it doesn't mean a lot to them. That's my viewpoint.
Mm.
Because really, there's not anything, to celebrate apart from knowing that I have a job at least.
Yeah.
I have $2,500 that I'm getting in every month.
Mm.
Even though it is not going all the way, I'm trying to make it stretch. But attaching a meaningful meaning to Workers' Day for workers, I'm not sure that workers and the public in general are really celebrating it and.
Mm.
Embracing it is something to look forward to and to celebrate workers in our country.
Yeah, and can Workers' Day be used as as a platform to push for meaningful changes in labor laws and policies?
If you go around Namibia right now on this day, on Workers' Day. If you can show me three towns who are really celebrating or really having events on Workers' Day, events hosted by the government to celebrate Workers' Day and to feature as a gateway for workers to raise their concerns, then I will lay down and die. Believe me, it is not happening.
Yeah.
It could be used as a platform for example, the request that we made to the Labour Minister in the last 6 months to come and have a public hearing day or an event where workers come up, they celebrate workers and they also provide opportunity for workers to raise their concerns, as to what they are experiencing in their local job environment.
Yeah. So what, and maybe finally, what is your message to Namibian workers on this Workers' Day?
Okay, my message to Namibian workers on this Workers' Day is that, if you can just give me a second, I actually wrote it down here somewhere.
Yeah.
Then I would like to say that it's actually more of an introduction, but rather than a conclusion, that I would like to say that we are standing at the crossroads in Namibia, as our unemployment is very high, especially amongst our youth. While trade unions are battling against the wages and the exploitative labor practices, which is looming in Namibia.
Yeah. All right.
What we need to do is that the challenges that we face, we must never give up, and we must always report your challenges. Do not be afraid. We know it's difficult, but for those of you who do not know what is happening in Africa, I urge you...
Just a minute, Ozo. Yes. Just a quick
step
one,
right,
and then you can finalize.
Yeah. Big low price carnival, where the deals are big and the savings are even bigger. Get show-stopping deals like 4 kg real good frozen mixed chicken portions for only $199.99. That's a big deal. And 10 kg top score super maize meal for a low $124.99. Valid until 4 May 2025. Don't miss out on these unbelievable savings and more at the big low price carnival. Only at ShopRite. Plus, stand to win one of 220 trolley dashes. Simply buy any 3 participating products and stand to win with ShopRite's Big Low Price Carnival. Competition ends 8 June. T's and C's apply.
All right, Mr. John, just conclude your message then. Mm.
Yes. So as I said, we must take... for those of us who do not know what's happening in Africa, the youth is standing up... I urge Namibians to become involved, and I know access to technology is still a challenge. But if you can, please try and look what's happening in Africa.
Yeah.
Take pride as a young Africans. Fight to get your Africa back. Let's work together in the same spirit as South Africa, as Ghana, as Burkina Faso, countries in the Sahel region in Africa.
Yeah.
This uprising against colonialism is really getting very strong, and we are supported, and we're not going to stand back. The developed world, Europe, USA, they will not... we will not allow them to control us any longer. It is our resources. It's our Africa.
Yeah.
So be strong. Stand up, because the fight for freedom from colonialism, new colonialism, is not only to reject foreign domination, but it's also to fight for this continent-wide movement that we have to combat exploitation.
Yeah. All right. No, thank you, Mr. Sanderson, for coming through to Eagle FM, and also really for shedding light on pressing issues in our labor market. And we really appreciate talking to our listeners this morning. Yeah.
It is my pleasure. Thank you very much. And I hope I could have contributed something meaningful this morning to our listeners.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay.
All right, that's Mr. John Sanderson. He's a labor consultant. So you're most welcome. All right, you're most welcome to come through. If you wanna just interject, or you wanna not interject, if you just wanna come through and react to maybe something that you picked up from what he said, and generally just contribute on the significance of this day in Namibia. So what is what Workers' Day mean for you as a worker? What does it signify for you? And also, what is your opinion on the day? So, and how are you celebrating it? So that could be also the question. How are you celebrating Workers' Day? Where are you and how are you celebrating it? And what is the significance of this day, for you, as an individual? So you may come through, and our telephone number is 08-333-66-091.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are The Elsi Nehangano, Dio Sherero Omaimburiro, The Catholics Simane Kakarunga, The Afrikaans Sing Voor Diere, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend,
listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.
Yes, you can listen to Eagle FM wherever you are. And that's right. It is, Eagle FM is accessible to you anytime, anywhere. All you need is your phone, and you are instantly, connected, to the news, to your favorite shows, and also to many, so much more, features that you can find on your Eagle FM app. So all what you need to do is just download the Eagle FM app, mobile app, and you are as good. You are good to go. So do that, and we also encourage you to subscribe if you want to stay in the know. With business, economic news, and latest policy developments, and any other issues that are going around the country and around the world. So what you need to do is just to subscribe and be able to grab your digital copy of the villages every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. Send, all you need to do is send a WhatsApp message with your name and email at 081-241-44, 081-241-44. And if you are a business person, as I said, we're making it easier for you to grow your business. So our complimentary app, the Imba and the our Eagle FM mobile app are perfect for boosting your product and also for boosting your services to a wide range of consumers. So, and don't forget that our social media platform is some of the most very active in the country, and give you they will give you perfect space to elevate your brand and product visibility. So if you're a business person, make sure that you contact this telephone number 083-288-400. So, and do that. So, and if you're just joining us, it is May Day, the 1st of May. It's a workers' day. So, and if you're a workers, how are you? Well, how are you feeling? So what are you doing? How are you celebrating your workers' day? I was talking to Mr. John, who's a consultant, who's a labor consultant. He said people don't really play much significance in this day, and it may be true. He said, "Well, just think about it. So how many towns will you see, you know, scheduled to celebrate this day?" So, yeah. So, but for you as an individual, wherever you are, so how important is this day for you? And what significance it has on in your life? What significance it have? And also, how important is to the country? Should we continue now? Should we just have it as a public holidays? And if it doesn't have any significance, we must scrap it out. Scrap it out, and we go to work. So we must scrap it out. It's an international day, celebrated in most of the countries. So if it really doesn't have any significance, so let's scrap it out. It should be there, but we should be working. You know, you should be going to work. So, and I can just imagine some people, what? You know? All right. So, yeah, seriously, how important this is day for, and now it's really looking in terms of we're talking up unemployment, which is at, I'm talking now of, according to NSA, statistics, 36.9. We're talking about, youth unemployment over 41, 41%. And many workers are trapped in this precarious jobs, where often without, you know, basic benefits or social protections. So, and then the rise of cost of living goes up. The standard wages, the wages still stagnant. Everything goes up, but except the salary. So, yeah, there's so much that is going on for the workers. And, what is your take? What is your reaction even to, the discussion that I have with Mr. John? John Sanderson, one of the labor, consultant, in Namibia. So, if you want to react to that, and just add your contribution, is you can call us in a studio here in this beautiful town of Ondangwa, 08-333-66-091, 08-333-66-091. So, yeah, it is Workers' Day, and happy Workers' Day to you if you're one of the workers and if you're just joining us. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, please do come through and have your comment or have your contribution. So we would love to hear What do you have to say? So while we're waiting, we can move on. Probably we can move on to something else. Yeah, so all right. Now, let's move to something else. But you're most welcome to come through. And my question is that, what does this day, how are you celebrating? First of all, how are you celebrating Workers' Day? So where are you, and where are you celebrating? How are you celebrating this, Workers' Days, and what significance this day have, to Namibia? Has it any significance at all? So you're then welcome to come through and share your opinion, or your perspective, or your reaction, even to some of the things that he really pointed out, quite a number of things, you know, in a through our discussion. So maybe you would like to come and also react on that. So again, our telephone number, 0833-66091, 0833-66091. So you can come through. Let's also look at some of the current, you know, issues, or pressing issues as well. So if you're just tuning in, this is Unpacking the Day with Mike Oshavelli, where we dig deep into the stories that matter most to you. So, and we can also look at one of these. I found it very quite interesting, not interesting. It's a critical issue that are affecting our healthcare system, if you put it that way, a crisis that is actually hitting some of our state hospital hard. Imagine needing life-saving surgery. Okay, you need a life-saving surgery, only to be told, we are out of anesthetic, so we can't help you. We are out of an anesthetic. You know, so imagine that you need surgery, but you go to the hospital and they tell you, we don't have anesthetic, so we can't do anything. So that's the reality of. That's the reality for many patients right now, you know? So here's what we know, right? Here's what you know. And this is from an article in the Namibian of yesterday. Hospitals, like Rundu, state, hospital like in Rundu, the state hospital in Rundu, Windhoek Central, Katutula Intermediate, and you have Kidmanshop are grappling with shortages of anesthetic drugs. So these hospitals, according to these articles, are actually grappling with shortages of anesthetic drugs. So this has led to the suspension of elective surgeries. Suspension of elective surgeries. When we talk about elective surgeries, some of this, maybe your elective surgeries is like on orthopedic surgeries, cosmetic surgeries. We don't do cosmetic surgeries in Namibia. Or we do, like breast or augmentations, you know, maybe we do. So, but those are not urgent. But orthopedic surgeries, gastrointestinal surgeries that we do, you know, And gynecology procedures, those, when we're talking about now, those, the elective surgeries that are actually suspended, like gynecological procedures, could be gynecological procedure in some hospital, or it could be diagnostic procedures, so that could be suspended because in some of these facilities, and because there are no drugs, as I said earlier, on a shortage of anesthetic, you know, drugs in some of these facilities, and that limited operation and sometime in some of these, it's limited just operation to emergency in some of these hospitals. So this is something very, very, this is really something that's very, 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 very serious. Yeah. So, but let's unpack what is really going on here. So let's see. Let's go a little bit into deeper into the story. And more importantly, why this situation is so dire, why it's happening. Yeah. So now, well, maybe let's start by putting this, how would I put it? This categorically. Let's put this categorically clear that, anesthetic are not just, this is not just convenience, okay? They are not convenience. It's not convenience. It's not just convenience. They are an absolute necessity, okay? So in a hospital. So this is an absolute necessity. It's not just something good to have in a hospital. It's an absolute necessity. So without them, surgeries, as I have said, as I've mentioned some of those ones, so diagnostic procedures normally done on gynecological procedures are normally done quite often. So there are a lot of surgeries that are done on a regular basis. So without them, surgeries cannot be performed safely. Maybe, but not, they cannot be performed safely. Imagine now a surgery is being, it's actually being performed on you without anesthetic, you know. You know, we would have, you know, hospitals full of screaming, from pain. So, surgery cannot really be done, cannot perform safely. Whether now it is a routine procedure normally that doctors have, or it's a life-saving operation. So you need, anesthetic, you know, drugs to be able to perform, some of these procedures, safely. So, and the ripple effect of not having, these drugs is so massive. It's really, really, really massive. So the shortage of this, of drugs in some of our, facilities, is really, really massive. For instance, the Windhoek Central Hospital reportedly has a waiting list of 500 patient. A waiting list of 500 patient. And some departments are booked months in advance. And because of that, because of the shortage, some of this, you have so many patients on the list. So what does this mean for those in need of urgent care? So those who now need actually urgent care. So it means delays. It means delay for operation for these people. It means complications sometimes, you know, because maybe you needed to be operated as soon as possible, and later something, whatever your diagnose, become more complicated later because it was not attended to in time. And potentially life threatening situations. So that's why I said the situation is very dire, you know. At Rundu State Hospital, the crisis it's even more visible, you know, patients who have been admitted for years, are being asked to buy their own, you know, their own bandages. This is according to the articles. So I'm not picking that out of my tikufa pekofi, you know. So they're asked to buy their own bandages. Can you imagine that? Eh? So, or even use the, as I said, take for pegofi. So, so even use the makeshift solution like a solar tape. you know, to cover up the wounds or something, you know. So the reason, the problem is now is the procurement. The procurement delays are crippling, and the strain on staff and patients alike feel this, the problem, feel the effect of that. So yeah, so where is the, maybe one can ask now, where is the breakdown, and why are our hospitals struggling like this? Where is the breakdown? And one issue seemed to be, yes, it's often this is something that we talk about, especially here as well on Unpacking, you know, the systemic inefficiency in the procurement processes. So inefficiency, systemic inefficiency in the procurement process. Medical supplies, including now anesthetic, you know, aren't reaching hospitals in time. They are not reaching hospitals. Maybe they are available. Maybe the drugs are available. It's just that maybe it's not reaching, you know, the facilities where it's needed in time. This bottleneck disrupted the entire healthcare service delivery chain delivery chain. Yeah. So patients are being sent home, are being sent back home, surgeries are being postponed, and definitely that, yesterday we were talking about, you know, trust in institutions, government institution, and trust in public healthcare services, start to erode because of these kind of things. You understand? Yeah. And even people who can't afford now, you know, private sectors, they are forced to, you know, they are forced to go to the private sectors because, you know, whatever penny you have, put that together so that you can get a better service, you know, at the private sectors or so, at the private practice. So, yeah, as I said, patients are being sent home because drugs drugs are not there. Surgeries are being postponed, and that becomes a really a problem. Yeah. So another contributing factor is the exodus of medical professionals. Now, these are people, especially the anesthetic, how do you call the people that are now done anesthetic? The anesthetists. Yeah, the anesthetists. Okay. So, yeah, I think that's the right word. Let me type it in just to see if it is anesthetists. No, it doesn't show. Yeah. So the people who are trained in anesthetic, and they are trained by the government. So what happened is that they are exhorting. They're moving to the private practice. Why? Because the public sector lacks the resources. Secondly, the infrastructure needed to support them effectively. That's what he recited in the article. So, and also, this brain drain leaves public hospitals severely understaffed. One, you know, it leaves the public hospitals understaffed, and that increasing, you know, further exacerbating the crisis as we can see. So that's another factor. So the staff that have been trained by the government are leaving to private practice, especially when it comes to those people who have been trained now in anesthetic. Not because they want to, just because some issues, the reasons could be that there's a lack of resources in the public sector. Infrastructure is not supporting them effectively. So they go where there's facilities where they can apply their trade. So, and let not forget the human cost, you know. The article also indicate that expectant mothers with condition like eclampsia and trauma patients from accident are at an alarming higher risk. Of course, definitely. So now, without immediate surgery intervention, because of the lack of that, their chances of survival diminish significantly, and it's not an exaggeration to say that lives are on the line, you know. So as I said at the beginning, this is a dire situation. How do you react to that? And then some people think this is now from the minister herself. There's the controversial directive. Some believe that's a controversial. I don't see why. From the health ministry about eliminating lunch breaks in public health facilities, which is important. Sometimes you come around one and the clinic is closed. and then you have to wait until 2 o'clock. And sometimes they don't, even if they are in, I have seen this, even if they are back from lunch, you know, they start operating again around maybe 3 or so. And, you know, this sometimes the problem is not the staff themselves. Sometimes you just have one or two nurses at the clinic and they are overworked. Yeah, so and everybody need that rest sometimes. That's some people think that directive now from the minister, it is eliminating lunch break in the public health facilities is uncalled for, but you can only do that when you know that I have extra stuff that I have actually sent to these facilities, because you can't ask the people that are there if they are not enough to work through lunch. You know, that's just not fair. And I think that's the point some of the people are trying to make, that, well, yeah, if eliminating lunch breaks has to happen, send the staff, let's have enough staff on the facilities so that we can rotate. So, and on the paper, the directive sounds like a practical solution to keep services running uninterrupted, definitely. But they are questioning the directive. Is this a band-aid? A band-aid fix? You know, is this a band-aid fix for a much deeper wound? You know, so is there something, you know, bigger than just actually band fixing this wound? You know, so rotational lunch breaks might address a service continuity, but they do nothing to solve, according to the article, to solve the root problems, which are procurement delays, because we still have other problems that are more important shortages and staff burnout. Exactly. So staff burnout. If you have two nurses and you expect that, you know, or one nurse and you expect that she should walk throughout the lunchtime, that would also cause the staff burnout. And in executing her duty might do a lot of mistakes because overworked and things like that. So those are some of the issues. And some people now are saying critics always look beyond what the person say and look at more what are the how do you do this practically given the situation that you are in. So what do you think, Namibia? Is this a crisis for planning? Or are we dealing with a deeper systemic? Are we dealing with a deeper systemic issues in our healthcare sectors? So, how can we, hold the responsible parties, as we often say here? And it's something that I'm pushing in every aspect that we do here. That's what I'm pushing. So how can we hold the responsible parties accountable? Accountability is one of my priority on the show. Okay. I'm also like Nandi, like the president has some priorities. That is my priority. So I'm pushing for accountability. So, and it's not only accountability for the leaders, but it's also accountability for you as a citizen. You should hold your leaders, and it doesn't matter who they are. It's not just politician, whether it's a religious leader, traditional leader, any type of leader, hold them accountable. It's about time. So, yeah. So we hold the responsible parties accountable while also ensuring our people receive the care they deserve. Okay. Should the government invest more in retaining skilled professionals? Because there is that exodus of professionals that are leaving the public sector to private practice. Because of resources and infrastructures and resources that are not available in public facilities. Should now the government invest more in retaining skilled professionals? And how do you do that? Or is the solution in reforming the procurement process as well? So I think that those are some of the questions that that you may, if you come through, maybe try to answer as well or react to. Our telephone number, 0833660091. It has been quiet this morning. People think probably saying, "Hey, come on, this is our day. This is my day. It's I'm a worker, so today I just need to." You know, lay back and relax and enjoy my day. And I understand. I do understand. And I really wish you to do that. So you are hardworking. So you do so much for this, hopefully. You do so much for your family, for this community, for the country in what you do. So this day is for you. Maybe you have taken today, put in a leave again tomorrow. So Monday again is a public holiday. So yeah, have a long, you know, that long weekend resting and, you know, recharging yourself, so that you can be able to do that again and again, and in what you do to uplift, this country. And to grow our economy and the living standard of an improved living standard of many of our people. So wherever you are, good morning to you. And you are in the company of Eagle FM, your number one talk radio stations. Stay tuned. We will be back. So, but in the meantime, you're most welcome to come through and react to some of the stories that we're bringing you. Our telephone number again, 083-366-091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudia, with the Kirofaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. She goes a fat and anana, longish fa, yai, she became a E. Moyao, or Tain Gongotisa Mene. Ana de Shifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangica. Say Sanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongish Fayo, Kupitramo, Eagle FM Media House. Way 20 Mimeha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki wimwe po yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma odara heta tuimu. Datunda tu heari hamano tano o miyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.
Welcome back. And this is Eagle FM. And you are tuned into Unpacking the Day with Mike Oshoveni. So a very good morning. A very good morning to you. And if you're a worker, happy Workers Day, and we're asking a question. I'm asking a question. So how are you celebrating? How are you commemorating this day? So what is that you, how are you commemorating it? How are you celebrating it? Well, I'm not hoping that you, yeah. So, yeah. What I mean is that, you know, how is your day going so far? So how are you remembering this day? So how significant actually is this day? So how is Workers' Day? How significant is day to you as a Namibian, to us as a country? Is it significant or it just happened that, well, it's one of those days. I get to stay at home and, absolutely rest and all that. So yeah. Does it has any significance at all to you as a Namibian, as a worker? Well, if it does, do come through, and chat with me and talk to me. 083-366-091, 083-366-091. The other things that we looked at is the whole problema when it comes to anesthetic. Anesthetic. That I don't know why I have a problem with this word. For some reasons, when I'm pronouncing it, it's like I'm kind of have a hot potatoes in my mouth. Yeah. So yeah. These drugs are the hospital. The facilities are the hospitals actually running out of these drugs, and then this. Lead to suspension of some of the elective. When we're talking about elective surgery, some surgeries some are just normal procedures that you need to do on a day-to-day basis, but because of the lack of these drugs, these are not happening. Become a really, 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 really a big problem. In some of these places. Yeah. So, and as I said, without it, you know, this is one of the things that you need in a hospital. Without it, it becomes surgery cannot be performed safely. And it doesn't matter now whether it's just a routine procedures that you need to perform or it's a life-saving operations. So, and this seemed to be the issue that is going on in some of the hospitals. I'll give an example. This is coming from a daily newspaper story yesterday. That this is what is going on in some of the hospitals. So, as for instance, in Winter Central Hospitals reportedly has a waiting list of 500 patients. You know, 500 patients. The issue is that once this is not, it's not attended to, there are implications that, you know, things that when, you know, people could die. Yeah, those are some of the things. Those are issues. If it's not attended, there are delays in some, as we're talking about postponement and what happened. So implication could happen. This is what happening. And, what is your take? If you would like to react to that, please do so. Telephone number again, 08333 66 091. 08333 66 091. So you are welcome to come through and have your say. Now, maybe let's look at another stories. We can do that after this coming up commercial break. We will do that when we come back. So please stay tuned. We definitely will be back.
Step right up to ShopRite's Big Low Price Carnival, where the deals are big and the savings are even bigger. Get show-stopping deals like 100 Joko Strong Quality Tea Bags for only $52.99 per pack. That's a big deal. And 5 kg Marathon Brown Sugar for a low $89.99. Valid until 4 May 2025. Don't miss out on these unbelievable savings and more at the Big Low Price Carnival, only at ShopRite. Plus, stand to win one of 220 trolley dashes. Simply buy any three participating products and stand to win with ShopRite's Big Low Price Carnival. Competition ends 8 June. T's and C's apply.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Yeah, not whatever you say. It's not our view. It's your view. Why would it should be our view? All right. Yeah, no, if you're coming through, so please have your views. We welcome your views. As long as, we have that disclaimer that it's not our view. It's your views. Okay. All right. Do come through if you want to comment and react to some of the things that we have covered so far. Our telephone number again, 08333 66091, 08333 66091. I understand. I perfectly understand. Today, it's one of those days that, you know, you probably just think, hey, I'm chilling, you know, please. And, let me listen to you, but, you know, don't expect me to come in and have a contribution on the topic or something. I perfectly understand, you know, and I would have done the same, isn't it? No, but you most welcome. So, but you probably being a passionate somebody, citizen, and you want to contribute to, you know, well-being of your community and society at large. So maybe you rethink and you can pick up that phone, dial that number I'm giving you and come through. If not, we can always go on. We have always something to, you know, to inform you and, keep you updated with what is going on and get into in-depth analysis of some of the stories that are going around the country and internationally. So, and if that's the case, well, we still have about, how many minutes? We still have about, we still have about 13 minutes before we come to the end of this episode of Unpacking the Day. Today. So, but we can look at something. I think this is also very fascinating. It's, not fascinating. So, yes, it's a critical topic as well. It's also covered a critical topic that may affect, not only may, could, has, affect every Namibian with, if you have a smartphone, a bank account, you do online, you are online quite often. So what is that? It's a cybersecurity, you know, and, it's a story. it's a story in yesterday's edition of The Villager, by, who did write this? By Nino Menwabali. Mr. Nino, Nino Rastus. So yeah. Now, According to the latest, and it's like a warning. Yeah? So according to the latest financial stability report, Namibia is at a higher, risk of a cyber attack in 2025. This is not maybe or whatever. The way it sounds is that we are at a higher a risk of cyber attack in 2025. It's like you have you seen when a country is at war, is it at war? They are when the other countries are about to, you know, the where the country actually have a sense. Well, I don't know what they go through. Well, how do they do that? But when they go, they have an idea that the other country or will be attacking, they sometime green when you are peaceful, it's green, and then they change it to yellow. Yellow means that, there is a security threat, but it's not that, imminent. And when now we change to red, so then that's a higher, you know, that definitely something it's happening, and every citizen should be ready, get into your, you know, in those hole and whatever, yeah, in basement and things like that, because yeah, something is about to happen. Yeah. Now, this is definitely that way that Namibia is at a higher risk of cyber attack in 2024. So now it's, it may sound like something out of a, you know those science fiction movie, but it is real. It is real, and it presents danger, one that could have significant impacts on our economy, on your personal finance, on my personal finance, and also, well, those who have finance anyway. And national security as well. So it is something that is serious. It's something that is real, and it can and it would present danger. As I said, it's something that is in it's a story that's in our, in yesterday's edition of The Villager. So if you really want to go, you know, have more details on that, but let me do it for you here. Let's analyze some of the things that, let's get into it. Now, as we know, the Namibia financial regulators recently released the report highlighting two major threats, to our financial stability for this year. So what is that? It's a global financial instability. So that's one of them. And the other is the cyber threat. It's the another. Now, cyber risk were given the highest probability of happening. As I said, they were given the red light that this is more likely to happen. And for the good reason as well. For the good reason as well. In the past year alone, So several companies, and these are even, you know, communication companies, and government ministries have been victims of cyber attacks, exposing sensitive data and disrupting also operations. So, yeah, cyber risk is given the highest probability of happening. Now, as you're listening, I'm talking about companies, several companies, but these things also can happen to you as an individual. As I said earlier on, if you have a bank account, or, you know, you're frequently online and things like that, you could become a victim as well. So, but what does higher risk, that red, you know, sign, that danger, you know, for us? What does it mean? The higher risk mean for us? So it means that not only are attacks likely, they are not just likely, but they are also becoming more sophisticated and harder to prevent. You know, so these are people that are genius also. You know, could be the guy who have actually developed the same software that you're using for what? He's the one who actually developing something that is, there are some lunatic out there, that are clever. How can they be lunatic when they are this clever, you know, can create something that is so sophisticated? Yeah. So lunatic in what they do, but clever in what they can produce. Yeah. So this means that, as I said, that not only are attack likely, you know, that means this is becoming more complicated, becoming more sophisticated and harder to prevent. So, and this is now sometime this, you know, from phishing emails. I'm not sure to say it's phishing, you know, phishing. All right. From phishing emails, trying to steal personal information, to EFT fraud, and even a vulnerability caused by sometime by third party service providers. And what it means is that the spectrum of cyber risk, is broader and dangerous. All right. Simply mean there are so much, areas where you as an individual, companies can be exposed, to this, risk. So now, let's unpack the specific issues now raised in the report, and also, from the stories. Now, one is the, phishing and spoofing, you know. What is phishing? You know, phishing is when the cyber criminal trick you, into revealing your sensitive informations, like your bank details, maybe through fake emails or website. So it's like it's your bank that sent you an email and asking you to do something. It's legit. The logo of that company is complete. It's everything looked like legit. I remember I was working for a certain company where we pay actually $500,000, you know, to a bank. Yeah, because it was actually, it looks coming from, the financial manager, original manager, whatever the case, I don't know. I can't remember exactly what was it all about, but it was on something. And the trick was, you know, when get somebody take to Ramokato, there are time where you said, no, there was a time I really said, how do people actually fall victim of this? Yeah. And, I said, I don't think I will be ever fall victim of this. I will notice when it is, you know, sometimes when they do that, when it's happening to you, it's really when it addresses, it comes when it addresses your problem at the time. So I think I was so, it was in Oshakati. And then I stopped at the bank, needed to go to the bank. And this lady, a lady with a child, came to me. this is something different. Oh, anyway. So it came to me and said, yesterday, we just came into Namibia, and even the child maybe has been trained to act in a certain way. You know, the child was also, you know, acting this innocent and like, you know, they haven't eaten for a day or two. They really look, as if they're really, need some help. And then she told me, no, look, I have a $300, but I don't have an ID to go in the bank and be able to change, this money. So if you have anything that you can help us, we can give you the 300 and you can help us with anything that you have. Now I said, well, but the 300 is quite, it's quite much. By that time, I have 1,000 in a pocket. I said, no, what I have is not enough, you know, for you guys. So what I have is not enough. 300 is more than that. So, I cannot be able to, you know, so please, they begged and things like that. Well, in the end, it's not much that I gave. So I said, okay, let me just maybe then withdraw. I withdraw another 1,000. So I gave them a 2,000 because I know 300 it's about, probably about around 4,000 or something like that by then. Yeah. So I said, well, I help people that I need, but I help people that I need here. And, well, I also score maybe few more thousand. So I give them the 2,000 and then, well, they move away. So they go away and I go around to do what I needed to do. And then I decided to go to the bank now and change my kaching, you know, my cash. Yeah. So when I went there in the bank, you know, I was just called on the side. Hey, say, where did you get this money? I said, well, I told the story. Yeah, the lady I met, she says she's from Angola and she needed some money. She doesn't have an ID and all that, blah, 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 blah. So, and then, well, they said, well, it's just because this is happening to a number of people. We would have actually asked the police to come and arrest you because this is actually fake money. Oh my God. So it's fake money. So unfortunately, we know that is, that's happening. A couple of people have been, you know, tricked in this way. So yeah. Well, when I went out, just look around. It's funny that people who cheat on you, who actually do this to you, you kind of like never meet them anymore. They like ghosts, you know, like, okay, maybe one day you just bump into them so what would you say anyway, even if you bump into them and say, hey, you are the one who got drunk mokato venana. So there's nothing a person can deny and say, no, it's not. I don't know. You say, I have never seen you in life. So what would you do? Yeah, that's how I have been, you know, also fall into that. So this is very interesting. So we couldn't finish it. So maybe we do that tomorrow. So we finish that part tomorrow. Let's look into this because it's quite interesting. There are some other information that you probably need to know. Yes. Our time is 32 minutes. So let's get to Mr. Helmut, probably waiting already. Coming up with Mind the Gap. Well, from me, enjoy your Workers' Day, and wherever you are, please, you know, take care until tomorrow. From me, Michael Chevelli, a goodbye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudia, with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafas and Anana, Longishifa, Yai, Shiwitamoshiwana, E. Moyao, or Tangongo Tisamwene, Anagashifa, Yanamibia.